Welcome to Side B of 222 Paranormal Podcast interviews from Glass City Paracon 2017. On today's show, we have Devin and Dennis from Life Spirits Paranormal stopped by again and got on the microphone, told us some awesome stories. Also, we wrangled Jeff up. Jeff is a custodian at Owens Technical College, and he told us some very interesting stories about his life and his experiences. So enjoy the show, and thank you for tuning in to the 222 Paranormal Podcast. Well, I am sitting here and I see a familiar face to me, and I called out his name and he's like, I'm not Dennis. So folks, let him introduce himself from Life Spirits Paranormal. We have
Dennis.
I keep saying Dennis. I don't know why. I see you guys together all the time.
Yeah, so. I know. It's hard.
So what is going on?
Nothing much. I finally got my team going, Toledo Spirit Hunters.
Okay.
So that's going. I got my lead investigator I finally found 2 weeks ago.
Okay.
So she ain't here with me today, but if she was, she would be on too.
Yeah, why isn't she? Where is she?
She's actually doing some stuff. She actually wants to go to the walleye opener.
Oh,
so
okay.
She's, you know, doing her thing.
Oh, she's out having fun while we're here working.
Exactly, yeah. But
do you have a lot of people coming to the booth today?
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you got a good spot out there. We're in the room, and you're out in the hallway where everybody has to pass you.
That's true.
Uh-huh. So anyway, sorry about that. What's new? And I see someone walking behind you with a shirt on just like yours.
Oh, yeah? Who's
that? Nope, he's running the other way.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. I never met him before. Okay. So you're selling your shirts, I guess.
Yeah, I guess so. I didn't even know that.
So anyways, back to this. What is new and great going with you?
I'm going to be still, even though I have a new team going on with me, I'm still going to be helping out Devin and the pair, you know, Life Spirits Paranormal.
Okay.
Devin's also going to help me if I need it. We're going to be still good friends and be there and help each other out. But what's new with me is I'm going to be busy investigating. We're going to be at the Fulton County Historical Museum.
Okay.
The 29th. That's going to be the Halloween investigation.
Oh, cool.
So we're going to be doing that. Monday, I got to go down to about an hour and 40 seconds, or about an hour and 40 minutes away, not seconds.
Okay.
To investigate this woman's apartment. Her mother reached out to me and asked if me and my team could come down and, you know, investigate. I'm going to go down to assess it, you know, see what's going on before I fully investigate it. And then a search team in Zanesville actually reached out to me to help with cold cases.
Okay.
To try and communicate, you know, with the people who got killed.
Find out what they're... Because there, that's, you know, a lot of people don't think that, but that is an actual thing that there's a lot of investigators go and help out police departments and stuff. And there are actual stories. I know of one that the ghost actually solved her own murder.
Exactly.
And it's an actual documented case.
It is. Yeah.
And I can't think of the name of right now, but yeah.
Zach and Nick, they've discovered bodies as they investigated.
Yeah. So it is a thing. And
yeah.
I mean, what makes better sense than a spirit that's trying to communicate,
tell
their story, say, hey, this is what happened, and here's the murder weapon, and right there it is.
There it is. Yeah, there you go. You know, it helps lead to, you know, whoever did it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So I'm going to be doing that about November, probably 3rd or 4th, and I'll come back up here on the 5th.
Okay.
So, but other than that, we're probably going to, me and my lead investigator, sit down, plan out next year.
Yeah.
You know? But let's talk about the old South Main Street school, since we both investigated it.
Yeah, it was cool, too, because we weren't together.
No.
You know, we didn't do an investigation the same night.
No, we didn't.
And you got evidence that we also captured in the same area, not the same kind of event, but it shows that there's something going on there.
There is, yes.
So let's tell the folks what you got, and then I will mention what we...
me and Don from Fringe Paranormal, mm-hmm. we were both down in the boiler room.
Okay.
We were sitting in the two chairs that were next to the, like, the little steps.
Yeah.
Because you go down those two steps, and mm-hmm. there's the boilers. Yeah. And then, you know.
And
so we're sitting there. I was doing a spirit box session. And then I thought I heard something, so I cut the spirit box out. And then, I started asking questions, and then Don did. And then all of a sudden, we heard like some movement off to the right where that room is. If you okay. go to the right behind the boiler, there's that room.
Yeah, there's like a service room that yeah. has a lot of stuff stored in. Like, they're
like
actually,
wooden boards.
Yeah,
and
they're working on the building. And when you go down the boiler room, it's kind of like a step down because in case the boilers at the time would burst, the water would not go anywhere but stay in that containment area. So off to the sides of it, they have, like, service rooms. And in those rooms, they just, like, threw their boards and whatever in there. It's nothing organized. But
yeah.
Go ahead and tell them what.
So we walked over, and we went to investigate the noise because it was loud. Like, mm-hmm. there was movement somewhere back there. So we went back there, you know, and Don's actually holding my camera because I'm holding the spirit box and okay. recorder. And we get in that room, and I kick on the spirit box again. Well, before that happens, off to Don's left, there's boards on the floor.
Okay.
And he felt something knock over. And I asked, I said, are you in here with us? Well, as I'm going over the audio
uh-huh.
the past couple of days, because I've been going over it with my lead investigator to give her some experience, what to listen for,
yeah.
how to listen for it, what to look for in video imaging, you know, just mm-hmm. to give her the feel of what the, you know. And we get this female came across like straight A, class A, which I will post all that evidence this week. Everybody will be able to see it on my page.
Okay.
Plus my Toledo Spirit Hunters page too. It'll be okay. on both my paranormal page and that. Okay?
All right. And we'll link that up in the show notes.
Yeah.
So people can
yeah.
click on it.
And this female comes over class A and was like behind you. And I was just like, whoa, you know,
because yeah.
I didn't catch it at first because it was said so fast and you'll hear it. It's mm-hmm. said so fast. Because I had to slow it down just to make sure I heard it,
yeah.
you know. And then, like, 2 minutes later, another male came across and said the same thing. Said, behind you. And then, when we were trying to ask their name or who they were,
mm-hmm.
they kept saying, me, or this is me.
Yeah.
It's like it was clowning with us.
Okay.
You know, it didn't want to communicate with us. It wanted to clown with us.
Okay.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
There was a female. There was also a female and another male that was investigating with me and Don because
okay.
I was the only one that showed up. No one else was there. It was just me and Fringe Paranormal.
Yeah.
And I was hanging with Don, so me and Don was investigating. And I don't know if you went to room 11.
I went to all the rooms, but
did
I don't
you?
Remember.
Okay. Room 11. They said that they were getting knocks up there when
okay.
me and Don was in the boiler room getting activity.
Oh.
So, but it was crazy because, like, we all four sat down in the boiler room, like, later on,
uh-huh.
and we kept hearing thuds, like, loud thuds coming from upstairs.
Interesting.
Yeah.
See,
so,
and that's what's, I know we talked about this before, but that's what makes these investigations great is when you are there with, like, less than five people or that, because
yeah.
you're always in the same rooms together. You don't have that cross-contamination. You know, I can't stand going on investigations and showing up and there's like 30 people there. Like, wait a minute.
Yeah. You're not going to get nothing.
No.
I mean, yes, it's costly to pay for a private mm-hmm. investigation.
Yeah.
But you want to get another team that's small to go in with you
yeah.
that wants to investigate that place.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to make it like a big group. You
yeah.
want it like small group and then say, okay, let's go, you know, let's go in and let's like Waverly Hills.
Yeah.
It may be $1,200 for a private investigation, but you get the right team that wants to go and investigate.
That's right.
You guys kick in, and you'll have that whole place yourself.
Exactly.
You
yeah.
know, I mean, but anyway, with
yeah,
that,
what's with the evidence you got in the base or in the boiler room was really interesting because when we were there, Chris Boris brought out his
SLS
camera, and we captured a figure actually communicating with us through that box.
Uh-huh.
We would look at the screen, and we had Don sit down in a chair,
uh-huh.
and you could actually see a stick figure come into screen, interact with us. We were like, could you raise your right hand? And right away, this right hand went up on the screen. We're like, crap, this is working.
Yeah.
You know, so I honestly feel, and that's really the only evidence that we got, except there's a, when you're in the boiler room, you come out into the common space, there's a stairway to the right and the left. And on the, if you're looking in the door, on the right-hand stairway, we had a REM pod there, and it was going nuts all night.
Now, was it the stairway where, like, towards the cafeteria
yes.
part? Okay, I want to make sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's the only, in that whole building that night, those two spots were the only places we got any evidence.
Really?
But the evidence we got was amazing.
Well, what's weird is later on we were in the second grade room.
Okay.
And when you went live on your
yeah.
Page.
When I
tried you, yeah,
the
you
live
tried
thing.
To get me to go live. Yeah. The REM pod was going off. But here's the funny part about it all is I could walk from, you know how there's three windows?
Mm-hmm.
I could walk from window to window and I would get an EMF reading on my millimeter
okay.
of 0.6.
All right.
And then it would go down 0.5, 0.4, 0.3. Walk to the other side.
Yeah.
Again, 0.6.
Yeah.
0.4, 0.5, 0.2. Walk to the other side. Mm-hmm. 0.6.
Yeah.
0.5, 0.8.
And
it was unexplained.
To let everybody know, this building literally has no power. It
yeah.
has no water. I mean, it is just a...
It's just a sitting dead building.
It's completely dead building.
Yep.
No power at all. If you have to go to the bathroom, you have to get in your car and go down to the restaurant.
Yep.
I mean, that's how... So this is a perfect place to investigate because of the fact that you're not going to be walking along and get a reading in a wall because there's a electrical outlet behind it. You know?
Yeah.
Or a 220 pipe going through the wall where you're going to pick that up.
Yeah. And then the attic.
Yeah.
I caught that voice that was real raspy that said, why are you up here?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
It was crazy.
You never know what you're going to get when you go into these places.
Yeah. You
and
never know. I'm planning on going back.
Yeah.
You know? But like I said, me and Devin, we're still going to work together even
yeah.
though I started my own team. Because
mm-hmm.
me and Devin are really good friends. And we will work together and... We'll go together in some locations together with, you know,
mm-hmm.
our teams and investigate.
And folks, we just had him sit down.
Yes. This is Devin.
Welcome, Devin.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I was
That's all right. No, we were talking, and I'm like, here he comes. Oh, nope. Somebody's back at the table again. This is a very busy convention we're at. So, folks, you missed it. You should have been here.
Yeah. It's really good. It's a really good turnout. Seriously.
Yeah. Yeah.
Seriously.
So we were talking about you behind your back.
Oh,
yeah.
I was just telling them how I started my own team and how, you know, we're still good friends and we'll still work together and help
yeah.
each other out, you know.
Yeah, I was going to ask if it was good or bad.
No.
Yeah,
I have nothing bad to say about you. You're
okay.
an awesome person and I'm glad we're good friends and
yeah.
what you've taught me, I've learned really well and I'm going to take your teachings and, you know, use it for my own team and
pass them
on to other people, yeah.
yeah.
You're a really good teacher,
it's
Devin.
It's actually good to have two teams because if something happens where your team members can't show up, you have the other team members to show up or vice versa.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah
I'm becoming friends with some of his team members, too.
That's
so.
Awesome, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, me and Devin will always be good friends, and we'll always be there for each other and stuff. So
what are you up to? Anything new? Well, anything exciting?
We'll be investigating the Fulton County Historical Museum.
I just mentioned that earlier.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes.
That is going to be very interesting.
Yes.
That's for our Halloween investigation.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that we were talking about off air is haunted objects. And think about this. Historical Society has all these objects
yep.
in there that all have history.
Yeah, they probably have something
mm-hmm.
linked to them, you know.
So as you're
yeah.
walking by, you might get a reading, and you're like, well, wait a minute. Why is it? Whoa, hey.
Yeah,
look
it's
at
like,
this.
Yeah, yeah. It's more on this object than it is over in this mm-hmm. area. So
yeah. Oh, to bring everybody up to date, I did bury my doll, by the way.
Yeah.
The haunted doll is buried.
Devin
actually got a chance to investigate it one time before I buried it.
Disposed
it was
of
sort
it,
of
yeah.
my fault that you had to bury it.
Yeah? What happened?
It's not your fault.
What did you do?
Well, it wasn't... Well, I was sort of messing around with it. I was sort of provoking whatever was attached to the doll.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember when you touched the hand?
Yeah.
I caught the audio. It did say, ouch.
Really?
Yeah.
Yep. I went over the audio. It did say, ouch.
Yeah. And then then we put the doll back, and then that's when everything in his house
just
went off.
Yeah. The REM pod went off.
Oh,
like,
I see. Okay.
Yeah, it was crazy.
I thought you meant the activity stopped, but.
No, we thought it did.
No, okay. I mean, we had to, like, basically sage and bless his house after that.
Yeah, it was.
And then he had to bury the doll.
Yep. It's buried in my in-laws in Berkey. Not going to tell anyone where it is in Berkey, but it's buried there.
Gibbs Bridge.
Gibbs Bridge. No. You know, we were talking to someone earlier, and they were asking, well, where can we go? We like, because they're from Gettysburg.
Yeah.
They came to the show because they heard about it on the web, and they're like, we got to go to Toledo to go to the show. So they're here from Gettysburg, and they're like, well, where can we go today to see? And I'm like, Gibbs Bridge. And they're like, what? We're like, yeah, go to Gibbs Bridge. Everybody has fun there. Yeah. Things happen there. And you've guys caught stuff there.
Yes, we have.
Yeah, I was just there like about 3 weeks ago or like 4 weeks ago.
Okay.
And
you was?
Yeah. I was there with my friend Jordan.
Oh,
yeah.
What happened?
Well, I wanted to take him there because...
He's never been there?
No.
Oh, okay.
Well, he was afraid of it, so I was like, all right, let's go.
I'm actually going to take my SLS camera there.
That's the best person to bring there is someone that's afraid of it.
Yeah.
Well, since there was reports of a baby being thrown off the bridge,
okay.
I went on YouTube and I found baby crying sounds.
Okay.
And I played that for like a few minutes. The weird thing was the moment that I began to play that, it felt like it got like a dark feeling in the woods and everything just got dark.
Oh.
But right before the reason why we left the bridge that night is because I was sort of provoking, like I always do, provoking the spirit.
You'll never learn.
Public service announcement, do not provoke.
Yes, do not provoke. Do not provoke people.
Yeah,
please.
So I was like, you better, like, I'm not leaving this bridge until you do something to me, hurt me, punch me, throw me off.
Yeah,
whatever. That's a little major.
Yeah, I'm not leaving the bridge until something happens. So I stopped the baby sounds for, like, a brief moment, and then they come back onto the bridge because they had to walk off to do something. So they come back on the bridge, and I play the baby sounds one more time. And the bridge has those rock walls on the side, so I sit on one side of the rock wall.
Okay. Yeah.
And I'm sort of leaning back. Well, not really leaning back. Like, I'm just sitting there like I would normally do.
Yeah.
And instantly, I just become lightheaded, like I was going to fall over or something. I'm like, okay, we got to go. Like, it was... But then, like, the moment that we got, like, left the bridge, like the area, like we drove away about 5 minutes, I felt fine. But
see?
Yeah.
Something was flicking you in the head, going pink, pink.
I really believe there's something there. I really do, but I don't believe that it's the legends.
Yeah, I don't
either. Believe the legends.
No.
I believe everyone going there and trying to communicate is what's...
That's exactly what I was just going to say.
Yeah, it's what we have stirred up there is what's there.
That's exactly what I feel.
You know.
Because I know Chris Tillman did a lot of research on that, and there's no evidence at all of any of the legends that actually happened.
Yeah.
But... Like we said, there's so many people go there calling the spirits, calling, come there, come here. Well, if you're going to call them, don't be surprised when they show up.
Yeah. Yeah. Know? Oh, yeah. Like I said, I'm going to take my SLS camera there. I want to see if I can get anything pop up on the SLS manifesting. I'm also want to take it to Ravine Cemetery.
Yeah.
I want to see what can pop up there. Mm-hmm. See if the girl in blue pops up.
And that's such a great tool.
Yeah. Remember?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That is such a great tool to use because... The technology, you've got visual, you've got audio, and you got non-visual with the laser grid that comes out.
Yeah.
I love them. I mean, just because, and, you know, I get back to the normal, you know, I use dowsing rods.
Yeah.
I get back to the natural, the original, you know, what's a notepad is just as important as a recorder.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you write down your information.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, but that camera is different. Like, I'll tell people. You know, like a lot of people get like the Ovilus, which I have, but a lot of people have the Ovilus and all that kind of stuff. And I'm like, no. Get back to the grassroots. The most important tool is yourself.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, when I see that SLS camera, it opens up so many doors to the possibilities of capturing evidence.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we used it in the house we investigated, your friend's house. Remember how you got it to move from the shower to the toilet and then it touched one of us?
Yeah, it... Yeah, and then later that night, we did get... I mean, that's how we found out that there was a gateway in and out of the house through the mirror that
through
was
the
in the
mirrors.
Bathroom.
Yeah.
Because we would open up the door to the bathroom, like, really fast.
Okay.
To be unexpected.
Yeah.
And then we would see it like shoot out of the mirror.
Yep.
And then later that night we seen it shoot into the mirror.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
And the bathrooms are like right next, like coordinated with each other from top to bottom.
Yeah.
Yep.
So they're like right on top of each other.
Yep.
Okay.
And later that night, it was Frank's SLS camera.
Okay.
So later that night, I sort of demanded it to do something.
He provoked again.
And after I got done saying what I was saying, because since we were in the bathroom and I seen it, I was like, so move the seat of the toilet.
Okay.
And then the moment I got done saying that, the SLS fried. Like it completely shut down, burned the SD card. So we got nothing from the SLS. Oh,
wow.
But the first time, remember, it was in the shower. And then you said, can you go sit on the toilet? And it sat on the toilet. And then he said, can you touch one of us? Didn't say who, but it touched someone upstairs.
Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. I think we call it, two manifestations on there?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
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 In the same house?
Same
house, same night, too.
I was actually touched on my shoulder that night. I was brushed up against. Like, whatever was there didn't barely communicate with us. I maybe caught maybe 5 EVPs, and Devin knows that because I sent him the audio.
Right.
But the funny part was it spoke over us and the spirit box.
Okay.
Which was weird.
Yeah.
Because I've never came across that.
Yeah.
Like, it spoke over those two things.
Hmm.
Never come across that.
Interesting. Right.
It was playing hide and seek basically with us.
Yeah, and then also with the SLS camera, we were down in the basement, like the beginning of the investigation, and my dad said that he's seen something right in front of his face.
Okay.
And then we were coming out of a room with the SLS just to see if there was anything there. And for the brief moment, we turn where he's at, and then there's a figure right in front of him, but the moment that we see it on the SLS, it's gone.
Yep.
So it doesn't want to be seen.
Yeah. I've heard that a lot where spirits they'll know that you're watching. And they'll like with cameras.
Yep.
You know, I'm a professional photographer, so I know about like orbs and how those actually work and all that.
Yeah.
But I have heard where people see the spirits, they think they're like, okay, I got to get this on film. And the minute they think that, the spirit will disappear.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
It's like they know that. What your thoughts are, and they know you're thinking that you're going to grab a camera, and they don't want to be recorded, so they blip out.
Yeah, it's weird that you say that spirits know what your thoughts are, because last year at the Yacht Club, for the September public investigation last year.
Okay.
When I was with my IR camera, I seen it on the little LCD screen, and I seen an orb fly through one side of the room to the bar area in the basement.
Okay.
And in my head, I was thinking, is that dust?
What,
but I never said it out loud yet.
Mm-hmm.
And then over the audio playback, we heard no. And then you hear that. And then after that, you hear me saying it out loud. Was that dust?
Yeah.
So even before I say it out loud, it says no to answer what I was thinking.
Yeah.
So it's like it read my mind.
Yeah.
Which is
weird.
That's
what's cool, too, is when I do videotaping, I'm looking at both the screen and the beam of light. Because, as you know, you can always see in the beam of light the dust go by. Okay?
Yeah.
But if you're watching a video back and you see this thing moving around in your screen, you're like, wait a minute, that wasn't in the dust. That was not in the light beam.
Right.
You know? So, anyways, I want to thank you guys for stopping by. I know we didn't get to speak with you too much, but.
Yeah, I had other people.
Yeah, but we'll get you back on.
Stopping me
you know?
And talking to me.
You guys, we'd love having you on. We love your stories, so.
Back. I got a lot more for you.
Oh, yeah. All right. We will both be working.
And after you do your investigations, the things that you're allowed to talk about, we'll talk about those.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I have fun talking about them.
Mm-hmm.
Comparing them, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know, like I said, me and Devin will still be working together.
Yeah.
You know, we'll have, you know, my team, his team, you know, and we'll have stories.
Okay.
Because we'll be working together still.
All right. Well, thanks for stopping by.
Yep.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah.
All right. And I saw Jeff walking by here. and we had to wrangle him up and get him on the microphone. So we have Jeff here. He's an employee here at Owens College, where we're having Glass City Paracon 2017. And he stopped by the booth earlier and was telling some stories, and we're like, we've got to get Jeff on the microphone. So he's here.
Yeah, I'm here.
Jeff, welcome. Welcome to the show.
I'm happy to be here.
Great. Now, tell us a little bit about, you know, you were giving us some of your experiences that you had from a small child up until today. Can you tell us a little bit about what happened to you when you were younger?
Oh, when I was younger?
Yeah.
I'm from my earliest memory, I'm going to go about five.
Okay.
I remember I was playing in my playroom at the time. I remember playing with toys, and I remember I had some toys in front of me, and I was just playing, and I caught a glimpse of this dark, shadowy figure come around by me, and not really thinking what it was, it's just like, what are you? Who are you? Well, apparently at the same time that was going on, my dad was seeing this continually dark shadow all the time, and it apparently kept on always. Being so young, you kind of try to fit the pieces together as you grow up, and you're like, so something was definitely going on. So I remember distinctively later on after that first experience, my dad getting very angry at whatever this thing was and told it to go away.
Oh,
I'm like, he put his foot down. And it's like, no, get out of our house. We don't want you around here no more. And it seemed to work up until about things started happening again about when I was about maybe seven or eight.
Okay.
And then that's when I had my one experience in the bedroom that really just shook me to the core because it was so frightening.
And what was that?
Okay. I'll go on.
Awesome.
So at that time, my father snored a lot.
Okay.
And so my mom kicked him out of the bedroom.
Smart
and so,
woman.
Yeah. So he slept in the living room. So he was always in the living room because it was vice versa. They both snored a lot. And so it's like, so my mom was in charge. So she relocated him to I heard both sides, so I don't need to go on into that. But I used to, because there wasn't enough room in our house. Our house was kind of small, and so I used to sleep in the same bedroom my mom used to. I used to have this small twin bed in the corner. So one evening, I can't tell you what time it was.
Okay.
And I woke up, and I saw this dark, shadowy figure in front of the bed. And I was just utterly, and it's the fear that I had. It was like this thing that was at the end of my bed was meant to do me harm, or it wasn't there under any good reason whatsoever. It was out. So I'm like, Mom, Mom, Mom. I'm like screaming. And I'm like, I get up out of bed and I go to shake her and she's out.
Okay.
And this thing is still there.
Oh, my goodness.
And so I remember picking up, I had a teddy bear, and I don't know what animal instinct kicked in. I was like, get out of here. And I threw it at it, and it just passed through it.
Oh,
but after I did that, it just slowly just kind of like that wave, like heat signature wave kind of thing, and it sunk into the floor.
Wow.
And I was like, okay, I'm going out to the living room where Dad's at.
Yeah.
So I went out to the living room, and I was just scared. I will tell my dad, because my dad was very open about this stuff, and so he was very, I know he talked to my mom about it, and of course my mom was like, whatever, he had a bad dream. And so that was the major thing. And so after that, I was scared to death to be in that room and be in that spot, because I would see, because my brother was in the room across the way. So sometimes he would leave his, and he's 10 years older than I am.
Okay.
So he would leave sometimes his bedroom door open and closed. So one evening, I remember when I was laying there, I saw something walking around his bed and walking back around. And it was a kind of a whispery, kind of whitish-looking apparition is the best way to put it. And so when it walked this way, I went that way. I went completely opposite and I went back to the living room. So there was a regular occurrence. My dad knew I said I saw something or heard something. I just became very like, I do not want to be at the other end of the house. And my only theory behind it was just because it was the new part of the house that got built.
Okay.
Because the older part of the house was this really blocky small house and they made an addition on. So I just had my theories like, well, something definitely got woke up. But I also had the voices too. And so those voices were, I would lay there at night and I would hear pss, 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 pss. And then the lady's voice would be like pss, 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 pss.
Huh.
And then there'd be a third guy would be like pss, 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 pss. And you knew they were all different. You could just tell. So that happened later on when I started hearing those. I mean, all these things happen in the exact same spot. It's just they happened over a progression of time. So like the voices I recall hearing those all the way until I was like 14 years old.
Okay.
And I would always get up because I'm like, I swear I hear someone talking. Or it would sound like, you know, like if you had a radio on in a different
room.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But it there'd be nothing playing or it'd be nothing on. But it'd be like voices that would be multiple people, but you couldn't make out any words they were saying. But you could tell distinctively they were three different people. So every time you get up to go investigate, they would stop. Then you lay back down, and they would start up again.
Yeah.
It's like, so like later on, my brother did show up here, and he walked around a little bit with me. But he was actually, he's really embarrassed to talk about it because I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But he heard the same voices and has seen certain things that I've seen at our house for years. And so he's not as open about it, I guess.
Okay.
Even though he's open about it to me because we both experienced it. So, but that's primarily, well, besides the guy that would walk around outside, we had a ghost or apparition that would walk past windows.
Okay.
And we would call him Blue Shirt or Blue Man.
Oh, okay.
Because he had like a blue collar type of work shirt on. It was very like a vivid blue. Mm-hmm. That's a stereotypical work shirt that you would have. And so we would catch a glimpse of him running by. And then you go out to look and someone should be there by the time you got up and looked.
Yeah.
You should be catching them still walking. And they weren't there. And my mom was like, oh, that's a bunch of BS. Until one day, she was sitting in the kitchen, and she's like, I didn't see what she saw, but I saw her head react, and she got up and looked. She's like, yeah, there might be something to what you guys say, eventually. She started to believe over time because things kept happening to her eventually.
Yeah.
But I think at her time, when all of this stuff was happening to her, she just was kind of like in that moment of like, I don't want to go there. I don't want to kind of in a denial a little bit about it, but.
So tell us a little bit about, you said you had some experiences here in at Owens.
Oh, yeah.
What have you seen or experienced as you worked here?
Here particularly at Owens, back when I used to work on thirds here, I used to work in this very building that we're talking in right now. And like right outside in the hallway, the library, right in front of the library, we would hear periodically the door open and close that would connect to the hallways. And we would always pause because we'd be afraid, oh, that's our supervisor. So we all would get up and start doing something you get prepared to be like, look, I'm in the middle of something. I wasn't staring off into space there or anything. And there'd be no one there. So after it happening for years, eventually I glanced over one time because I thought I saw somebody walking. And I caught a glimpse of what appeared to be a man. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a humanoid man, you know, but he was void of hair and he looked like he was burnt from head to toe.
Really?
Interesting.
Wow.
And he was making fast progress from the point I saw him from like where our clock tower is at to past the hallway.
Wow.
And then just judging from how fast he was moving, You could hear that distinctive click of the door being open and closed right afterwards. And it was like, okay.
Yeah.
So maybe that was him. Also here, we used to have a building down the street that used to be the TRC building. And anyone who worked thirds could tell you no one likes the TRC building. And so we used to have... Well, there's different sections of the building. We had the what we used to call the creepy dark murder room because it felt like someone wanted to murder you in there.
Oh my gosh.
Because of how like negative and how like hostile it felt in that room.
So when you went in there, were what was like the physical things you would feel? Would it just be like an over like a sense? Did you get goosebumps? Heart rate? Palpitate.
It was more or less when you got in there, you could feel like, all right, you know how you get that tingly sensation?
Yeah.
And that tingly sensation, it was accompanied by a large amount of like, I don't want you here. Get out.
Been there.
yeah, definitely.
Many places.
And so it was like, I'll take your advice and I'll get out of there. So, there was an also the other, I mean, there was like a cross pathway, which was just down the hallway. That had a different feel. And that feeling was like you'd be standing there and it felt like someone wanted to put their hands on your shoulders or grab you. But then to do what intent you didn't know. And so you just this horrible, uneasy feeling. And then in the and it's like it wasn't like so much anger, but it was like more despair in the one office area. And this all has accompanied with the me and a friend of mine, we both went and did our own little ghost hunt. And in the area specifically where we felt the most anxiety was we caught several EVPs of my only good EVP ever. Because I've been doing it for a long time and it always got like, well, I could dismiss that. And I could dismiss that. But we were on our way out and... Or like, okay, this is the last spot because we're afraid to be here. So we were like, okay, we didn't catch anything in the EMF. We'll check EVP after we're done. And so we're on our way out. And we caught this very audible, like, good.
Ooh.
Very, this kind of ominous
nice.
Sounding good. I'm happy you're leaving. Let's go. But as in overall, like the theater here has some of that feeling, but it's more of being watched.
Okay.
Which is typical in theaters. Like we've been in several theaters that we've investigated and there's that history of people who worked in the theater or performed or like the nuns at the Collingwood would sit in the theater. There's always that feeling of you're being watched.
Yeah. And I think theaters are hot because the emotion you have, you know, the people that are acting are putting out every emotion you can think of. And it's entertaining. You've had the aspect of people coming in and seeing it and all that. So I think theaters are always
There's always something to it.
Yeah, there's always something to them. So
And you know, like if you're a spirit and you love performing, where are you going to go? You know, after you pass away, you want to go back to the place where you felt alive.
Yeah,
exactly.
On stage.
Exactly.
So that's cool. We'd love to get in that theater. Check it out.
Well, I would have more for you because I used to work at the Tully Art Museum as well.
Ah.
Before here.
Really?
And quickly, because I don't want to keep up all your time.
No, that's great.
That's good.
My most like hair-raising experience I ever worked there because I worked there both third shift and because I was security there.
Okay.
So I had access to everywhere. So I was waiting for piano tuners to show up at the Peristyle Theater. I was waiting at the backstage because they're supposed to show up at, this is at like 8 in the morning. It's really early. So I'm kind of just like, okay, I'll just sit here and wait. So I'm sitting there and I hear this loud, like sounds like, because down underneath the stage, there's these really heavy steel like doors to keep out the sound. And this is an old, really old theater going dating back to, I believe the 20s or 30s. I'm not really sure. It's been a while. So I hear this big clunk, like someone opened one of those doors, and I'm like, what was that? And then it gives me goosebumps to talk about it now. I heard what sounded like some woman doing scales.
Wow.
Like I heard her do the
la 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 la. Okay.
And it was like, and it Yeah, it just gives me goosebumps I'm talking about right now. But it's
like, that's cool.
And it's like, oh my God, what is that? So I'm like, in that moment of hearing her do your scales, and I'm like listening for more. All of a sudden, I hear this huge bang at the back door. The piano tuner showed up, scared the hell out of me more.
I love hearing stories like that.
I do too. It's because
I'm
so
just
great.
Waiting for them, and I'm like, and so they kind of come in and. And they look at me and they're like, are you okay? I'm like, I'm fine.
No problem.
Not a problem, because you won't believe me if I told you anyway.
Right, right.
So.
That's awesome.
That's great. I'm glad we got you finally wrangled. And, you know, we're sitting here and everybody's packing up.
Yeah, but we really
this is how it always is with us.
But, you know, we really appreciate, you know, what you and Owens have, you know, hosting us here. Mm-hmm. It's been a great event. Great space. Great speakers.
Oh,
and it's great to meet new people, new friends.
Yeah, because this I was hoping you guys would actually come here, because I've been to when you guys were at the Collingwood Arts Center before.
Yes.
And I'm like, man, this would be so great if they had it at Owens. And then, lo and behold, the universe delivers you here.
That's
so.
Right. We're everywhere.
All right, well,
but
thanks
Jeff,
a lot.
We appreciate
thanks,
it so
Jeff.
Much.
Yeah.
And
thank you
I'm
so
glad
much.
We got you to come over and
if you have any other stories or anything else happens, get a hold of us on Facebook.
Oh, I have a lot. I could literally. I always thought about writing a book.
You have to. Do it. Yeah. Just do it.
There's so many things I've experienced.
But we'll definitely get you back on.
Yeah.
Have you come in the studio and tell us your story.
Yes.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Well, thanks a lot.
Yep. Right. Thank you.
All right, so we come to another close of an awesome show.
I'm kind
of
sad it's over, because this has been an amazing event. And with us, we have the organizer, the man of the hour, the Tower of Power, Al Luna.
Wow, I don't think I can take that much praise.
I cannot believe you're still standing
yes.
up.
Yes, it has been a long day.
Yeah, I'm still going to be going until about 1:30 in the morning, because we've got the yacht club.
Yes,
yeah.
There's an investigation tonight. It's going to be amazing.
Oh, I'm hoping so.
Yeah, definitely.
I do
cool
appreciate
place.
You folks coming out and making this even a better event.
It was amazing.
I think this is probably the best event we've been to.
Yes, definitely.
I know we've talked about earlier different events and all that, but I'm telling you, you got a gem here.
Yeah, it was.
And you did an awesome job. You promoted the heck out of it.
And we had a really nice mix of vendors. You know, a lot of places we've been, it's all been the same kind of people. But here, there was so much for everybody to look at. There was a little bit of everything for somebody, you know.
Yep.
If the wives are dragging their husbands along, there were things for them to look at, and vice versa.
I was really thrilled about the mix of vendors that we got. I reached out to as many different types as I could, and we got great response back. After we had our October 1st cutoff for vendors, I still ended up signing up three more vendors because they were begging to come in.
Yeah.
You
know, and when I know when you first talked about it, I was thinking, oh, I don't know, Owens? And then you brought us in and showed us the rooms and all that. I'm like, this is going to work. This is going to end. When I come in this morning and see how many vendors you had, because I haven't talked to you in a while.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, this is awesome. Like I said, I really want to thank you and tell you, you did a great job. And
amazing.
This is the first one and you better get used to it, because I know there's going to be many, many more.
Well, we're going to look at the bottom line this weekend. And, you know, maybe Monday we'll make an announcement going forward and see where we're at.
You never know. And, you know, it's always a start.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
and
you gotta
the
start
great
somewhere.
Thing about it is that there were charities that were benefited by it. Mm-hmm. Can you just tell us some of those charities that...
Yes, actually the first charity that we did get signed up was the Toledo Northwestern Ohio Food Bank.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we did get some food items for them. We're going to be making a cash donation to them. We want to make sure that the families in Northwest Ohio are taken care of going into the holidays, and they've got food on the table.
That's good.
Mm-hmm. Then we had Make-A-Wish come on.
I did see their table. That's amazing.
I was thrilled to get Make-A-Wish out. And, you know, we want to help those people that are less fortunate,
mm-hmm.
especially those families that are dealing with the kids with terminal illness.
Yeah.
It saddens my heart, and yeah. I want to find a bright spot for their day.
Yeah.
And it's amazing because Make-A-Wish, we personally had an experience in our family that we had a nephew who had leukemia, and Make-A-Wish came in and flew the whole family down to Disney World and had an amazing time. But you know what? He recovered, and he's 33 years old now and
That's
just
amazing.
Living life.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Never had a problem since. So it's just a wonderful organization, and to be able to support local charities in your hometown, because you know hunger doesn't just happen at Thanksgiving, it happens all year round.
All
so
year. Mm-hmm.
You know, it's important you to come out here and support the vendors, but also support the charities that need our help.
Correct.
Yeah,
and we've actually started talking with some other teams and things that they're doing out in the public and helping with benefits and things, and our team's going to jump in, and
That's
we're going to start helping out some others, and we hope that there's always reciprocation, and, you know, we want to build the para unity around Northwest Ohio.
Yeah.
In talking with some of the teams just from up into Michigan, they have a big blast day, you know, once a year where they have over 100 people come out and they do a camp out and they tell their ghost stories and they just have a great time.
I was thinking about that. It's like we need to have a time where we all get together, not at a show, not at an investigation, and just have fun and talk.
And let's share ghost stories because we love them.
You know, and the more we can build the para unity, the more that we're going to make an impact on our community and the more people we're going to be able to help.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So thank you a lot for a great
show. Thank you,
Al,
and your team. Everybody was very accommodating and helpful to all of us here.
Yeah, so hopefully we'll see you next year.
And tonight, good luck tonight at the Toledo Yacht Club.
Yeah.
Thank
you. So anyways,
thank you much.
Thanks everybody for tuning in to this special event.
Yes.
Glass City Paracon 2017 is over.
Yep.
Everything's packed up, and we got to pack up our stuff.
Yep, so we are out of here.
Thank
Bye,
you.
Bye, everybody.
Thanks, Joe.
Thank you.